So I'm going to talk to you today a little bit, speak to you a little bit about the reluctant missionary. And let me ask you the question first. Who's a missionary here? Every hand should be up. Every hand should be up. Because if you're a Christian, when God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, he meant Charleston as well, amen? And that's your responsibility, and that's our responsibility as Christians to be missionaries. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the reluctant missionary tonight. I'd like you to turn to the book of Jonah. I really identify with this story because some of you know I did quite a bit of ocean yacht racing. And I used to race on various boats, race Sydney to Hobart, 3 days at sea. And I'd be racing on a boat called, one that comes immediately to mind, Casablanca. Casablanca was about a 49-foot boat. Here, outside that door there, and it was a flat boat, very fast, had a big centre winch, coffee grinder winch, and two big winches out the side, had huge sails, and a very powerful boat, and we were racing. I can particularly remember this particular race, racing out from Sydney down to Hobart on this 49-foot boat, and as we were going out that first night, there was a rolling sea, and we were as this 49-foot mini maxi, and had huge sails, and it was at night, so it's starting to get a bit dark. We're just going into the evening, starting to get a bit dark, and we're heading south, and there's a tailwind. We got the main out, and we're running off the clock as we hit these waves. It was like a surfboard, 49-foot boat surfing down these waves, and it came time for a sail change. And I was on the foredeck. I was called on the foredeck at the time. And on the foredeck, we had a big hatch about that size. And you'd open this big hatch, and then that's where you'd pull your sails out and pull them back down. And we're in the middle of this sail change, and I'm on the foredeck, and we're pulling the sail down. We're pulling the other sail up, and I've moved to go. I've unclipped my safety line. I've got my harness on, and I've unclipped my safety line to move to the front of the boat, which was from about here to that wall. And as I went. And you know, you become a bit overconfident because you're doing a lot of sailing, you're on the boat, you become a little bit overconfident. And this particular night, I went forward, and as I went forward, we plowed into this wave, and the green wave came over about waist high. And I can still remember the words today that ran through my head, "You're gone." And it hit me and shot me straight across the deck. I went over, catapulted over the safety rail into the ocean. But, praise the Lord, I happened to grab hold of the safety rail as I went over the top. And I'm on the outside of the boat, hanging onto the safety rail like this. And then all of a sudden, about five of the crew, we had about 10 on that boat of the crew, came running up and went, pulled me back on board and said, "Hey, it's a bit early to leave yet." I said, yeah, you're right. So I understand the power of the ocean. And I can imagine Jonah, when his boat would not have had fast, sleek shape. It would not have had a deep keel. That boat would have been all over the ocean and big swells. So I can identify with where Noah's at. But what makes a good missionary? I can think of Pastor Piper. He's written a book called Answers. The fellow that led me to the Lord, pastor that led me to the Lord. 1,400 pages. I've seen him not sleep for 3 days while he wrote that book. Moved by the power of the Holy Spirit and great pastor and has many missionary interests around the world that he gets involved in. Or maybe, and he was a teacher to start with. Or maybe like Dr. Seymour in our mission board. The doctor in the military went to Nicaragua as a missionary. Today he's one of the leaders in our mission board. Or maybe it's someone like Greg Shoof. Greg came into my missions class at Hiles Anderson College, and he walked in, and we're talking about missions, and I said, "So, do you know where you're going?" He said, "Yes, I'm going to Rwanda." I said, "Rwanda?" I said, 1.3 million people killed in 3 months. He said, "Yeah." I said, "How did you choose Rwanda?" He said, "I prayed about it, looked at the map and went, Rwanda." I thought, "You're an idiot." How could you possibly survive? But 4 years later, no more genocide. Rwanda's a beautiful country. They're not even allowed to speak about the tribal background. And Greg Shouf graduates, takes his family, and goes to Rwanda. Starts a ministry, starts a radio station. And today he's got a radio station which contacts 10 million people in 5 neighboring countries. That's what makes a missionary. I mean, or maybe it's like Philip Pinero. Don't know if you've ever heard of Philip Pinero. He was the missionary most probably that had the greatest effect on me becoming a missionary. I had no doubt that when I heard him, that being a missionary was an exciting business, amen. He was a street kid in Melbourne, come from a French-speaking background. And he came home one day and his sister said, "Philippe, come to church with us." "No, not interested." He said, "There's some nice Christian girls here, I'll be right there." So he comes to church, he hears the gospel preached. And in the middle of the sermon, he gets the gospel, hears it clearly, comes down and stands right in front of the pulpit. And the pastor says, "Son, can I help you?" And he says, "I need to get saved." He said, "Well, do you mind if we finish what we're doing?" "No, it's okay." Stood right there. Off the street, no fear. So he goes off to New Caledonia. Well, first of all, they told him he was going to go to Senegal. His mission board. And he said, no, I've met these people from New Caledonia. They've called me to New Caledonia. And he said, and they said, no, if you don't do what we say, then you won't be a missionary. He said, good. Went to another mission board, amen. Went to New Caledonia, walked into a shop with his Kubra hat on, like an Australian cowboy hat. And a fellow there says, "Oh, are you Australian?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Oh, you can break horses in then." And he said, "Why do you ask?" He said, "Well, I've got 3. I've got horses I need breaking in. If you can break 3, I'll give you one." And he said, "Okay." So he goes home to his wife, Hazel, and says, "I've got us a horse." And she says, "How'd you do that?" He said, "Well," he told her the story. He said, "But Philippe, you can't even ride." He said, "If God's in it, it'll be okay." So next day, he goes out to the property, and there's the old guy there, and he says, "Here's the horse, and I'll come back later." So Philip looks at the horse, and the horse looks at him, climbs over the rail, hops into the car, back up over the fence again, then he's back in again, then back over again, and back in again, and in the end, you'd think he's praying, wouldn't you? He's a missionary, but now he's exhausted, amen. Up comes the horse, and the horse puts his head right next to him, and he says, as clear as crystal, "God said, put the noose over his head, you goober." He put the noose over his head, broke that horse in, goes to the farmer and says, "I'd like to work for you." He said, "We have no money to pay for any employees." He said, no. He said, "I'll just preach, allow me to preach the gospel to your men at lunch and dinner," he said, "and I'll work for you." He doesn't tell you about the broken collarbone and all those things that happened in the process of him learning to ride. But he then, that's where he started his first church. Started preaching to these guys, and these guys got saved. And it was years later, he planted 9 churches at one stage. He got to 12, but 9 that I know of. And years later, he sort of comes back, and every year they have a national rodeo. And when he was learning to ride and so forth, he got involved in that, and he was quite good at rodeo. Hours and things, and because that's what he did as a job. And then he came back, he was a lot older now, and they said, "Pastor Philippe, good to see you. We need you in our team." And they said, no, I don't think so. It's a bit old. I'm a bit old now." No, you need to be in our team. We need to have you. The rodeo is coming up." And he said, "I'll go second reserve." So the rodeo arrives. First day of events, one guy breaks his collarbone, the other guy breaks his arm. Philippe's in the rodeo. So he does quite well. And at the end of it, they come to the big final event, riding the bull. He goes home. Hazel says, "Philippe, you don't have to do this. He said, well, if God will be in it, it'll be okay. So the day comes, gets out there and out there handing out tracts in the morning, and time comes and he's a bull and he hops on the bull and latches it around his hand, whoosh, locks that thing in. Bang, bing, whoosh, the gate flies open. 1 second, 2 seconds, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds. The bull turns left, walks out in the middle, and the announcer says, Pastor Pinero, you can get off your cow now. Pastor Pinero gets his name right across all the New Caledonian papers. Pastor Pinero wins New Caledonian Rodeo Championship. The best advertising he could have got. Amen. And then he left and went to Vanuatu. And in Vanuatu, I think with national pastor help, he planted 32 churches. A kid off the streets of Melbourne. Amen. So what makes a good missionary? God makes a good missionary. Amen. So God pronounced judgment against Nineveh. But Jonah did not want to go and deliver the message. Jonah knew that if the people of Nineveh believed and repented of their sin, that God would not bring the judgment he pronounced. So let's turn to Jonah chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 9. And then we'll pray and then we'll get into the message. I'd like just to read along with me. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them, lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the preaching of the word. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that lies within it. Lord, now I pray that you would help us to understand that there is nothing in the Bible that's not there with purpose. Lord, and we have a story here, a simple story. Help us to learn the truth from it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So God pronounced judgment upon Nineveh. And of course, Jonah did not want to go there. Jonah decided it was better not to go and preach at Nineveh so they would be punished than to deliver the warning and possibly see them repent, that is, change their mind from trusting themselves and living in the flesh and start to believing and trusting in God. And God dealt with Jonah by having him thrown off a boat and swallowed by a whale so he could reevaluate his decision. You know, some doubt and say, you know, how could a whale possibly swallow someone? Well, Melody and I have seen a whale shark. A whale shark, some of them are as long as 60 feet and over 60,000 pounds. I raced on a yacht called Casablanca, 49 foot long, and we had 10 on the crew. And we could all get down inside that boat, amen. So when God says, hey, Jonah was swallowed by a whale or swallowed by a fish, guess what? He was swallowed by a fish, amen. If God says a man was swallowed by a fish, then he was swallowed by a fish. And during this whale ride, Jonah repented. He had a change of mind. And God resent him to Nineveh. And Jonah preached. Nineveh repented. And God spared the city of destruction. And there's many lessons we can learn from this. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and to cry against it because of its wickedness. God does not like wickedness. He still hates wickedness today. Jonah got on a ship bound for Tarshish instead of going to Nineveh like God commanded him to do. You know, going to Tarshish was not necessarily a bad thing. Maybe he was going to preach in Tarshish. He may not have intended to do anything immoral, but he certainly didn't want to do God's will for his life. So God sent a giant wind into the sea because of Jonah's disobedience. We see that in verses 4 through 15. And if you're a bit disobedient to God's direction in your life, he can send a great wind, a storm into your life. The ship mariners were afraid and cast lots to see who caused the storm. And Jonah was fast asleep. He was at peace, although completely out of the will of God. He was in the bottom of the boat, asleep. So how do you determine the will of God? Right here, amen. Amen. By God's word. Amen. But Jonah was not listening. He was not wanting to do what God was asking him to do, and he was running from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was taken as the cause of the storm, and he admitted to running from God. Jonah knew the problem. And often in our life, we know the problem. Jonah told them they had to cast him into the sea in order for it to calm again. Jonah knew the problem. And he knew the solution for the problem. And we often know the problem. And we often know the solution. The problem will often stop if we do what we know we should do. Separate ourselves from the problem. The crew of the boat separated themselves from the problem by throwing Jonah overboard, and the sea calmed and the problem went away. So what sort of problems do you have today? Mixing with the wrong crowd? Going to the wrong places? Participating in the wrong behavior? Revisiting the old habits? Watching the wrong things? We need to separate ourselves from these issues and things. And then maybe our life will become calm again. We need to separate from the source of the problem and things may become calm. Now, you may have a chance to, once you've seen things calm down, renew your relationship or have a closer walk with God. These men, it tells us that they feared God and made vows in verse 16. They turned to God and they made peace with God. Now the Lord had promised a great fish to swallow up Jonah. They prepared, rather, a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And here is the picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. It says in Matthew chapter 12, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here." God has never left himself without a witness. God's last word, if you'd like, is his best witness, proving the existence, his existence in Jesus Christ. But before that, we had the testimony of creation. How God created the earth. We live on in 6 days. He had the testimony of his word, starting from the oldest book in the Bible, Job. And he had the testimony of history. How God has given us 7 major responsibilities and we have failed them all. We had the time of innocence, creation, with Adam. Our responsibility, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We failed and we ate. And then we had judgment passed upon us, curse and death. Then we had the time of conscience. This responsibility, do good and blood sacrifice. We failed and there was great wickedness on the earth. And God brought judgment with the universal flood and saved Noah and his family. Then we had time of human government, a responsibility. Scatter and multiply. We failed at that and we didn't scatter. And God came down and confused the languages. We had the Tower of Babel. Then we had the time of promise. Abraham was the beginning of Israel. Responsibility? Dwell in Canaan. We failed. We dwelt in Egypt. Went into Egyptian bondage. Then we had the time of law. The responsibility. Keep all the law. Failure. We broke the law, rejected Christ. Judgment came. Worldwide dispersion of Israel. Now we're in the time of grace. With the dispersion of Israel, and then the return of Israel. Our responsibility? Receive Christ. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Our failure? The world rejects Christ and trusts good works. And judgment has been passed. The great tribulation to come. And then in the future we'll have the millennial rule of Christ, where we're to obey and worship Christ. Once again we fail. There's a final rebellion. And God passes judgment at the great white throne. And to those that are not of Christ are thrown into eternal hell. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. God can hear your prayers, your cry, from anywhere. He knows where you are at. He knows what you are going through. You think he can't hear you. If he could hear Jonah from the belly of a big fish in the ocean, then he can hear you. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. God is in control of all things. If he can speak to a fish, instruct that fish to follow a boat in a stormy sea and then wait for lunch, swallow a man, and then 3 days later have the fish spat up upon a beach on dry land in the right place so that he can continue his journey to Nineveh. Then God is able to control your circumstances as well, whether you like it or not. So Jonah arose and went into unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord, post haste, I expect. It says that he was 60 miles, 3 days, Nineveh was 3 days across. He was on the banks of the Tigris River. He must have been in a hurry because by the time he had reached the city, he was already 1 day into the city before he started preaching, amen? So he preached the city and preached to Nineveh, what he preached was, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And from the greatest Nineveh, they fasted and prayed to God to spare them. Repentance is a change of mind. Not a change of behavior only, but a change of mind. An acknowledgement of our sinful state and not about our good works. We do right because we repent and get saved. Not do right so that we can get saved. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 it says, for God, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. In 1 Thessalonians 1:9 it says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living God, living and true God. So God spared Nineveh because of Jonah. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth for the greatest of them, even to the least of them. God saw their works and they turned from their evil way. Jonah was exceedingly displeased and very angry because God spared Nineveh. So what lessons can we learn from that? Well, three times in Jonah chapter 1, it says that Jonah rose to flee from the presence of the Lord. Jonah could run from God, but he could not hide from him. God saw him every second of every day. When Jonah got on the ship, when he was sleeping in the side of the ship, when he was cast overboard, even in the belly of the fish, God's eyes were upon him. We must remember that the eyes of the Lord are in every place. God sees every place we go and all that we do. The night cannot hide us. Nor can any structure or building. We can never shut out God. He is ever present. Because God is omnipresent, we should be ever mindful of these things. One, we cannot sin and get away with it. Maybe you're not tithing. Maybe you're not soul winning. There are many things that we can do that can be sin. But we cannot run from God. Are you thinking today that I will maybe not come to church next Sunday because of? When missions comes around, maybe I won't go because they're going to talk about faith promise. Maybe... You know, if I come along, then they're going to get me involved in something. Maybe I have to go soul winning. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We're in God's sight before we were born. In the book of Psalms, it says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in the womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. We are watched by God in all our goings. In Job it says, doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. What does pondereth mean? It means weighs up, checks the balance, evaluates the heart. God knows how we stand. We will be helped by God as our hearts are perfect toward him, it says in 2 Chronicles. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God wants to bless and protect those who are of a perfect or perfecting heart. Have you a perfect heart? Are you becoming more like Christ? Do you have a burden for the lost? Are you obeying God, not just in your church attendance, but what about your tithing, your giving, your soul winning, your service? Who hands out tracts? Who hands out tracts? Those who have tracts, amen? And it doesn't matter whether you hand out a tract like this is for you, or this. They get it. They get the word of God, amen? The gospel and that. So, we will be saved by repenting. Changing our mind from trusting ourselves and doing according to the flesh, and turning and trusting Christ to save us, and Christ alone. And this should then reflect in the way we lead our lives, and as we are a living testimony to others, and in our obedience to God. So what about you today? Are you sinning and thinking you're getting away with it? Are you running from God? You know what God is calling you to do, but you're avoiding it or refusing to listen to God? Have you realized that you have been in God's sight even before you were born? Do you understand that God is watching your every moment of every day? And do you know the special plan that God has for your life? God has a plan, a different plan, for everybody's life. Are you pleasing God in all areas of your life? Your Bible reading, your prayer time, your church attendance, tithing, giving, soul winning. There are two choices on the shelf. Pleasing God or pleasing self. You get to choose. So let me encourage you. Please God, not self. Are you a reluctant missionary today? Let's start reading our Bibles and seeking to have a closer walk with God. Let's seek out God's will for our life. Let's pray and let's serve by leading people to Christ, and let's watch God bless. So let's all bow our heads, eyes closed.